Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Cheerleaders and the Copyright Act Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On October 31st, 2016, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in Star Athletica LLC v. Varsity Brands, Inc. Varsity Brands, Inc. designs and manufactures clothing and accessories for use in various athletic activities, including cheerleading. Design concepts for the clothing incorporate many elements, but do not consider the functionality of the final clothing. Varsity received copyright registration for the two-dimensional artwork of the designs at issue in this case, which were very similar to ones that Star Athletica LLC was advertising. Varsity sued Star and alleged, among other claims, that Star violated the Copyright Act. Star countered that Varsity had made fraudulent representations to the Copyright Office. Both parties filed motions for summary judgment. Star argued that Varsity did not have valid copyrights because the designs were for useful articles and cannot be separated from the uniforms themselves, all of which tends to make an article ineligible for copyright. Varsity argued that the copyrights were valid and had been infringed. The district court granted summary judgment for Star and held that the designs were integral to the functionality of the uniform. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit reversed, however, and held that the uniforms Varsity designed were copyrightable. The question now before the U.S. Supreme Court asks what the appropriate test is to determine when a feature of a useful article is protectable under Section 101 of the Copyright Act. To discuss the case, we have Zvi Rosen, who is an adjunct professor at New York Law School. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Rosen.
Star Athletica v. Varsity Brands, this case is almost universally called a cheerleader uniform case, raises almost metaphysical questions as to what the essence of a cheerleader uniform truly is, but more precisely, whether certain designs intended for use on cheerleader uniforms are copyrightable or are useful articles and thus ineligible for copyright protection. Now, as a general rule, garments are not copyrightable under copyright law as they're considered useful articles, but designs for garments can be copyrighted. Certain garments can be copyrighted as soft sculptures, but generally not standard garments. Varsity is currently the market leader in supplying customized cheerleader uniforms to squads, and Star Athletica is something of an upstart competitor. The details of the case were not raised extensively before the Supreme Court, but according to the complaint, which was filed in Western District, Tennessee in 2010, a supplier of Varsity Brands was facing termination of their supply agreement. That supplier hired a number of Varsity employees and began offering a competing service known as Star Athletica. Varsity then sued, arguing that Star Athletica's catalog was offering a number of designs that were essentially verbatim copies of Varsity's brand's designs for cheerleader uniforms. Now, stepping back for a minute, the useful articles doctrine which says that you can't copyright a garment, has a long and fraught history. It goes all the way back to the Supreme Court's 1954 decision in Mazur v. Stein, where the court held that a statue that was pretty clearly meant to be a lamp base, but could be used as just a statue, and I believe they sold 5 of these as statues and 300 as lamps, was protected by copyright, since copyright protected it as artwork regardless of how it was subsequently used as a useful article. The key language is that ornamental features, which can be identified separately and are capable of existing independently as a work of art, are copyrightable. So, over the years, different circuit courts began to develop different standards for copyright infringement of useful articles, eventually leading to 9 different tests for whether something was a useful article or copyrightable and whether it was separable from the useful article. The Star Athletica case is, at its core, about asking the Supreme Court which test for separability is appropriate and proper, and since the Supreme Court itself has not addressed this doctrine in 60-plus years since Mazur. So, the district court framed the issue as whether the ornamental elements were conceptually separable and whether the uniform with these features remained a cheerleading uniform, a sort of platonic ideal of a cheerleading uniform. Finding that a garment with these features would not be a cheerleading uniform, the district court dismissed the case. So on appeal, the Sixth Circuit reversed. They formulated a 10th test for the Sixth Circuit of whether useful articles may be protected, a hybrid approach, but ask whether decorative features can be identified separately and an inquiry into whether the ornamental features can exist separately from the work. So, and just to clarify, Varsity Brands would not claim and copyright the uniforms themselves, but merely decorative features like chevrons and various other features on the uniform, not for the entire uniform as an entity. Star Athletica requested certiorari on two questions. The first question is, and I quote, what is the appropriate test to determine when a feature of a useful article is protectable under Section 101 of the Copyright Act? Section 101 being the definition of section of a statute. And they also asked what the appropriate level of deference to U.S. Copyright Office of Registration. The U.S. Supreme Court only granted cert on the first question as to what the appropriate test is for conceptual separability. The case was heard at the end of October, and that's where the plot thickened. The argument quickly veered away from the question of what test was appropriate for separability, with Justice Ginsburg asking at the opening of the argument why we're discussing separability at all, since this is only registration for two-dimensional artwork, not cheerleader form connect containing it, which of course cannot be registered in the first place. Attorneys for Starr conceded that these designs could be registered as two-dimensional artwork, but argued that in context these were functional parts of a uniform, doing things like slimming, other modifying the profile, which otherwise modifying the profile of a cheerleader, using methods like color blocking, and further argued that the particular shapes, so arranged, were purely functional, and they served to identify the wearer as a cheerleader. This led to discussion of the copyrightability of camouflage and the purpose of judicial robes as identifying the wearer as a judge. Underlying the argument was a concern that varsity was effectively doing an end run around a prohibition of using copyright protection for garments by using copyright protection for all the individual elements of the garments, and these copyrights protected design elements that were ubiquitous in the cheerleading industry. Justice Sotomayor asserted from her bench that the suit seemed an attempt to kill the knockoff industry by copyright, as trademark and design patents had failed to do so. Also stalking the case was a knowledge of the 1976 Act had an entire section granting a short-term protection for designs and including garments, but that section was removed before the law was passed. In the end, the court barely asked any questions as to which tests should be used to determine separability of useful articles. Perhaps the court will simply decide this case on the grounds that there is no separability to discuss, but that raises the question of why certiorari was granted in the first place. And if you do that and don't address which test is appropriate, that leaves in place an almost completely fractured circuit split of 10 different tests and 10 different circuits for conceptual separability. The court is most likely to attempt to thread the needle, not granting de facto copyright to garments and offering a single test for lower courts to use in determining conceptual separability.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.